Hello. Today I'm talking with Aresh Javadi of the More Gardens Coalition. Aresh, can you please explain the goals of the project?
Sure. Thanks. The goals of the project started off, I would say, about almost 4 years ago, when the community gardens had slowly been starting to be destroyed and for housing and for being sold to developers. Sometimes just not even housing, it sat there as a investment for the developers. So we decided that it was enough to just show up at the time of the auction or at the time when the actual city was selling it, but to become proactive and start doing something that would then act at the time when we had plenty of time and be able to make differences happen. Now, I'll give a little explanation of what community gardens mean and are for the New York City. Right now, there are 700 community gardens that exist in New York City. They started around the 50s and 60s when a lot of the abandoned houses were burnt down by the developers and by arson, by whatever means, sometimes even riots where people, especially in the Bronx, were frustrated and infuriated at the policies enacted upon them. Also, a lot of this destruction came about by the city's neglect, by actually taking out fire departments, taking out police, and letting places really fall apart. No trash pickups, etc. So what was left was a lot of destroyed buildings, vacant lots that were sitting there collecting garbage, trash, drug dealers, dangerous places for kids to play, etc., etc. And the communities themselves, the people around these areas, said, enough is enough. Why not act ourselves and change this? So they removed all the debris, they took out the trash, and they started planting. And lo and behold, within a few years, they started having green spaces that were taken back, I think, from all the way back when the land was stolen from the people who originally lived here. And to me, that's one of the most revolutionary things that happens in New York City, is to take back the land one seed at a time. And so within 10 years, many hundreds of these community spaces had appeared all over New York City. Then came the city administration saying, look at this. All these lands, we better watch out and make sure that it's still under the control of the city agencies. And they created a program called Green Thumb under the Parks Administration eventually. And that program came and gave leases and, you know, basically negotiated leases with the gardeners in charge in the communities, like 2-year, 3-year leases, and also supplied soil, tools, and other educational programs that are very good. And most people who do work in there have a very good heart and are focused on that, but at the same time, it is a compromising, controlling device for the land that was taken back by the people. So time goes by, communities start fixing themselves up, getting rid of crimes, and they become much more palatable for developers, who then, as always, start putting in and bids and asking city agencies to give them what could be homeless housing, low-income housing, most of them wanting to create market-rate housing, or even hold it till a better investment comes about. There was a study done in Brooklyn by the borough president that up till mid-90s, 95% of all the land that was auctioned or sold, they became vacant lots and just stayed as that, nothing else, just was holding. Now, with the Giuliani administration coming into effect, it sort of culminated all the greed and the problems and the selfishness of the people into this administration. And so they went full ahead about selling off all the land, tens of thousands of vacant land, including the gardens, to whoever would buy it, you know, auctioning them, transferring them. There's also tens of thousands of housing, also vacant, that had fallen into tax write-offs, etc. And so now the city owns them. They also started selling those too. Some of them to big groups, and a lot of them to just everyday developers. And that's when the More Gardens Coalition came in. That's when we started figuring out that the gardens were one of the forefront lands. Even though there might have been thousands of vacant lands, they picked on the gardens specifically first, because that's where the communities had come together, they cohesed, and they had a very strong front. More Gardens, after the Charas was sold, community center, as well as four community gardens that day, people had been arrested and put a big fight up, but they got still sold. So we said, no, this is not, enough is enough. We need to get together. And at that time when we started writing the More Gardens Coalition outline, we had 5-6 core people who sat down and said, okay, we need to do this. Did this in the South Bronx by the Cherry Tree Garden. Very ironically, it was also the time where they had put over 100 gardens on the auction for that year. And a Cherry Tree Garden, where I had been doing puppetry, was one of them. We got together, we start writing, and we decided that we would use a multi-purpose layer or fronts to make sure that gardens can be saved. One of the fronts was going to be, obviously, through legal means, through lawyers. And we got the Puerto Rican Legal Education and Defense Fund working on a federal suit against these gardens being auctioned. Another front was legislation, working with politicians. And we also went to Albany and asked State Attorney General, wearing a giant sunflower. He actually said, I would like to have the last question to the sunflower. And he later on said that if it wasn't for that sunflower, he would have never gotten into placing an injunction and a temporary restraining order over the community gardens. And that has been a big help for many, many years. Another front was education and outreach. So we went out to all the gardens. We had questionnaires, both for the legal front, but also to encourage and support and tell them that we're all doing this together, that they shouldn't try to separate them and break us up. So united we stand. And another front was also the monetary front. So we found out people who were willing, land trusts, etc., to put money into this and support that. And, of course, part of the outreach, which was one thing that was very special about the More Gardens Coalition, is puppetry and the color that was added to it, banner making, stilt walking. These are all were encouraged, taught, and done. And finally, a very important aspect of it was the direct action. That was something that gardeners had really not done before. The other four had been approached, but direct action became one of our very strong forces, where we would commit acts of civil disobedience, specifically either protecting the gardens or going to the parties that were in charge of destroying these gardens. City Hall, DCAS, all the different agencies that had a hand in destroying these gardens, and committing acts of civil disobedience. And the first one being at City Hall, right before the auction, maybe, well, actually quite a few months before the auction happened. And 31 people got arrested. We sang songs inside City Hall. We had puppets and tomatoes, and there was much news. Since it was at the City Hall steps where the mayor had closed down, where people used to gather and bring out what was needed to the attention of the legislators. But Giuliani had closed it up, so it was too dangerous, and he had closed it up. So we were part of also opening that City Hall steps too, because enough attention was then begotten where he was forced to open the City Hall steps. And the gardens became a focal point of the news stories. People climbed trees with sunflowers in City Hall, and you know, a huge amount of police, which we didn't expect, came to get the person down. That was in the newspapers, and people were starting to say, "What about housing? What about gardens?" That was the administration's line. Well, you either have to have housing or gardens. Well, I can't have both. You know, the gardens are nice, but, you know, a homeless child, we can't let him, you know, like, freeze in this cold. So what we brought to attention was that there was tens of thousands of vacant lots out there, that there were thousands of housing that was being laid aside, and most of these things were being given to rich people to do as they will, not to make real housing that is homeless, affordable, and a lot of times affordable, that it's like affordable for whom? It has to be low income and it has to be permanent, because a lot of these new housing being built are for 5-10 years and they revert back to market rate after the people leave. So here we were a few days before the auction. 62 more people get arrested in the streets outside a practice auction, and it's built up. And at that point, we have two lawsuits going on, and State Attorney General also places their injunction upon this. So there's no auction can happen on that day. And so what the administration does, not to lose face, they sell these gardens to land trusts, one of them being Bette Midler. Of course, we're always like, and why do we have to sell our own lands to have it for the people? We already own it. This is what the administration is for. Well, in any case, these are non-profit, permanent, hopefully, land trusts, one Bette Midler being part of it, that keep the gardens as they are. So many of the gardeners and us were celebratory in the way where they did not get sold or destroyed, but are kept in these land trusts. So this goes past, time goes by, and we're like, okay, what's going on? More gardens are now being transferred, not auctioned off anymore, but transferred and given to some very good, you know, projects like, you know, elderly housing, etc. A lot, not even that. There's market rate, middle-income housing. And we're like, okay, they're back at it again. And we provide enough information to the State Attorney General again to show cause that there's an overall pattern that's happening. It's not an individual basis. And so they come back in. So the State Attorney General is ready to come back on this. Prior to this, we were in Esperanza, the community garden, that was transferred through the legal ways, legislative ways. Again, very trickily, and plans being changed at the last minute. And Kaposha was one of the biggest contributors of money to the Giuliani administration. So they helped him immensely in this. So Esperanza, a beautiful Puerto Rican garden, which had been 23 years at that time, growing with Alicia Torres and her family, four generations of them all living, taking care of this garden. They were one of the most amazing fighters and organizers. They included us in this, and we were able to produce out of their earth a giant coquille where people slept in and celebrated, and really had an encampment that lasted for over 5 months in the cold of the winter, really had, I think, an international, national effect, where people were coming from all over the cities, even England, Germany, and we had calls from El Salvador, where the people would say, "Wow, we are very impressed by what Moore Gardens has done, and in the way they've been able to affect policy and get media attention." So as I said, the state attorney general comes to go to court to put another injunction on all of these transfer selling of the gardens. So on the day off, or the day before they can go to court, they start removing all of the cars. And in the morning, they come and try to bulldoze the community garden. And so we are all locking down inside the Frog, in the Sunflower, and many other spots where there's tripods, etc., which we had put lockdown devices so we could slow them down. And we stayed for 3 hours in the New York City's ocean of blue show up, and the latest technology, removing person by person by person. Beautiful, amazing people, so brave, stepping up and, you know, putting their bodies on the line. Anyhow, the garden was probably half an hour before the judge's decision, destroyed, ripped up, and they ran with a paper showing that this is no longer a garden. The judge, probably seeing this and probably agreeing with most people that, you know, they would not wait for the law to make a decision. This is so unlawful, so unjust, put a temporary restraining order on this particular, I'm going to pause that because I must answer the cell phone and encampment. So. Yeah. So the judge, seeing this just high injustice that was done, placed this particular temporary restraining order and has withstood the time for the last 2 years, even though the administration had repeatedly appealed it in higher courts, but it was struck down. So this is 2 years later. We still have that injunction placed on all community gardens. Now, this injunction or temporary restraining order is only to stop the sale, transfer, or destruction of any community gardens. This does not mean they can't plan for these lands. And they have been aggressively doing so through community boards, which are bought off by developers. Well, actually, sort of, we don't vote community boards. Community boards are the first step, and they're placed in by city council and the borough president. So here we are. There's plans being made on these things, including the Melrose Commons, including many things. So we're now saying, here's the year that Giuliani is coming out, year 2002, two-thirds of the council members are also ending up out of power, and there are going to be new people coming in. So what do we do? We put away our lockdown devices, and we go towards a city referendum, and we work with lawyers and legal teams to come up with a people's referendum. Now, after much research and much hard work, we found out that the referendum and the laws pertaining to it are so limited that we cannot make all the gardens permanent by the choice of the people. Any land uses have been pretty much taken away from people's power and put back into the legislators. So the best we could do is to take the community gardens that were used to be in Green Thumb and taken out by the mayor and placed into Department of Housing and Preservation and Development to be destroyed, return them back into the Parks Department. That's the most we can do of controlling the mayor's powers. So we, after much debate, say yes, it's worthy of an effort, and even if it doesn't pass, it's going to be a highly educational and a huge outreach, since we have to get like 50,000 votes, signatures, to put the ballot on. So the summer becomes this wonderful dizzying drive of papers and running out into all the big events of the city, concerts and talks, and having a slew of wonderful volunteers with papers in hand going at their clipboard and getting signatures in parks, especially Central and Brooklyn Prospect Park, and just amazing, amazing, and tons of paper come in. We have about 2 months, and usually we've been told, 8 months is good, even when they're paid people doing it. Within 2 months, we do realize that the 25,000 signatures that we've gotten is not going to be enough. We need at least 30,000 to make it pass, and of course twice as much to lose some of those signatures. So with 25,000, we still hand in the papers, and we have a big press release, and majority, I would say 90-95% of people we encounter all over New York City are all for community gardens, and it's very obvious that it's really a very handful, few people, developers who are not majority of developers, the ones who are just wanting to develop right away on anything. A lot of developers also think it's good to have community gardens because it brings their real estate price around them up. And, of course, the politicians who are getting paid handsomely by these developers are for this destruction. So they become our nemesis, from Giuliani down to the community boards who are being, sang and danced by the money that comes to them. And sadly, that's the system that we've created and allowed to foster, that allows that sort of energy to happen, that people with money end up having the right to decide our policies, which is changing. So that was the referendum. After the referendum, where it made a big waves of it, we, with working with gardeners, activists, and just people who love green spaces, we went to ride a caravan, a puppet caravan with dragonflies and giant ladybugs and bicycles from garden to garden, starting from the Bronx, coming down through Manhattan, Lower East Side, going to the East New York and Williamsburg, and staying and sleeping over in different community gardens, and celebrating what we had throughout these long, beautiful caravans. And going to the election time, telling the council members and politicians how important gardens were. And we were very much heard, and it made a big difference for a lot of them in the long term. So now we are in the election change, or at least the new politicians are coming in. We are also encamping in a garden that was taken out of Green Thumb by paperwork, by bureaucratic mistake, and we're staying here highlighting that and all the other gardens at Cabo Rojo, South Bronx, and making sure that it is a garden like many gardens, taking care of children, taking care of the food and the stomach and the resourcefulness of the community and the self-sufficiency that goes around. Well, people can come together and take care of each other from all different backgrounds. So more gardens is basically that and more. And you have to sort of be here and share it to know really what it's like and how much love goes into the earth and how, as we come from it, we will return to it. And without that earth that grows around us, steel and concrete will just fall away and burn. Thank you, and more gardens. Thank you, Eric, for the interview.
How can people get involved?
You could go up to themoregardens.org, and spelled without any spaces, MoreGardns .org. Also, you can call 212-533-8019, which is the office number. And if you want to come and join us at the encampment, we need people to sleep over, even if the bulldozers come, to commit civil disobedience. That number is 917-518-5000. 9987. So that's it. And another thing to do is start your own garden wherever you are. Just find that empty lot that no one's using. Buy it. Go clip the lock. Start planting. And anything in middle of the streets, open those up and, you know, really make it grow and feed and share it with people.
Okay, Arish, could you tell me the process you use to create the energy to make change?
Absolutely. My way of working has always been that I need to create what I speak about. And what I speak about is the truth, the peace, the loving energies that are out there in the world, and I have to live it as well as talk about it. So if I want to learn, it's very simple. I look at the earth, I look at the gardens, there's plants growing, there's insects going, the wind, the sun, they all share that land and produce something very magical. So our process has been similar, is to bring people together to share each other's energies, create what we want to be there, that as much as possible. It's recycling, it's using cardboards and creating puppets that then have the vision of the gardens that bring sunshine and light into people's hearts. And also, let's say if we make a bike out of shopping cart that then becomes a dragonfly with its wings beating and kids can play on it, at the same time it can carry paint and wood and other things inside it and be a non-polluting way of traveling. So these all are part of More Gardens, and I know the people that join it are about celebration, about taking care of each other and the earth. And we strive on that, we keep that going. It's not to say we don't have angry and sad and frustrations going on. That's just natural. But that's not the vision. That's not where we stick focus our energies on. It's about the joy, the life, and the amazing things that is seen in the everyday lives. Thank you.
So do you ever burn out, or how do you prevent burnout, or what do you do when you get burned out?
I just listen to my body, and I encourage everybody else to listen to the body. It's the most amazing healing thing. It will tell you, you'll start sniffling right before about to get burnt out, and there are times where you have to be up a couple of days in a row. I do yoga, I dance, I eat good food, organic, vegetarian foods, and it seems to give me a lot of energy back, and a lot of joyful energy at that, and the way we cook things is loving way, sharing way, and that also makes a big, huge difference. So I encourage, you know, people to eat right and enjoy their lives. Usually illness is only there as a process, and just allow that to happen and move on through it. It's all a gift, especially the people who give you the burnouts and those things. Those are people who are testing you, your body, and your resilience to life and the celebration.
Today I'm talking with Louis Rodriguez. Louis, can you explain your garden project and how you got started and who's involved?
I started in 86. It was about, 152 between Melrose and Colin. I got a nice, real nice garden, you know? So, like it happening now, is that these people, they came to HPD, they say, oh, we want the place. So they took the place down. After that, I moved to another place, 153 between Melrose and Elton Avenue. But the garden, they took from me, they took about 11 years to do something inside the garden. So, after that garden I got in the new garden, it was on 153. So, they came to me again, oh, we want the place. Only about 2 years in there. I moved to 158, another garden. After that, they say, oh, we own the place again. So, and then after that, I'm in 159, running and running with these people from HPD all the time. Oh, we want the place. So now they want this place. So I think this time is going to be different. It's going to be different. I'm going to stay here, but the long day is going to come. When they come, the machine comes, I'm going to be here. Like making a nice fighting for these people. In the future, they're going to take a gardening, they're going to think it two times, you know? This is finito.
Louis, what do you do with your gardens? Do you plant things or?
You have to go to my gardens when on the summer times. I got the tomatoes, green peppers, eggplants, pumpkins, vegetables. You found vegetables any place on the garden. If the kids, they love this place. They love it. The reason is they come in. They make barbecues. Oh, we got two programs from the school. PS29 PS1. We got about two daycare center. They come in here. They make barbecues. Before they go in vacation in the summertime, we make a nice barbecue. The other way, they go real happy to the house. All the time they coming, possibly from the school, the plants they plant here, they're gonna check it out. Oh, all the beans I plant, all the corn, they grow up already. They're real nice kids, you know. Can't explain not too much.
Thank you very much, Louis. That was great.
Anyway, thank you.
Sorry, I got put you.